gives a rat's if the stats come in a little under? Just the one, in the sun's enough. Rip snorters only need 4 quarters. Check the book as we look at the one game wonder.
Thank you so much, Unc. And as we mentioned before, the Could Have Been Champions live here at the MCG for the Hawthorn Geelong game. Crowd building up despite the leaden overcastness outside, and seeing as Geelong are playing today, how much better can we do than to go all the way back to 1967 and welcome our one gamer from that year, played for Geelong after moving over from South Australia. Welcome to the Could Have Beens, John Nowak. Good to have you with us, John.
Thank you. Thank you.
And for Billy Baxter and I, this is a rare treat because we were there when you played your one game, John.
Sorry, I can't remember seeing you in the crowd.
Oh, we saw you. We were very impressed too,
okay.
John.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, you played at an era when, the great Polly Farmer was still playing in 1967.
Not the great, the greatest to play at in that year, yes.
And some people say that John carried Polly Farmer.
Yeah.
And he did.
Tell us the story about carrying Polly Farmer.
Well, Peter Pianto gave us a routine to go across the Cardinia Park on each other's shoulders. Well, I jumped on Polly's shoulders and went across, but then at the other side we had to swap. And so I had to carry Polly from one side to the other, and I can certainly indicate that he wasn't only a great or greatest player, but he was also a pretty heavy player.
Now, John, you played senior footy in the Sandful before coming across
for Sturt? Down in South Australia, I was playing for Sturt. I played games. Again, Clarkson was a very good ruckman, and it was very hard to get a regular spot in Sturt, and I was young and fairly light. I was only 13 stone.
That was
Clarkson. Yes, and so I played. I remember playing against Norwood and Glenelg, but otherwise it was with the reserves, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
And was Jack Odie still
Jack
coaching
Odie
at that
was
stage?
The coach, yes. He was an excellent coach. He actually had a technique where he got Clarkson to ruck from the same side as the opposing ruckman. It was a negating sort of style, and that became his standard way
trademark
of doing it.
So who from Geelong spotted you and got you over, John?
I really don't know. Someone must have heard I was coming over, and then they said, would you come down for a training run? And
you were coming over anyway?
I was coming over for the year as part of my occupation training, a year of practical work. And so I went on the pre-season training run with the 100 players that were trying to get on the 36 squad. I ran like the Dickens up the sandhills and along the beach and over fences, and it was Dr. Thrawful's property down in near the beach, and we had a very long cross-country run. I came in third, and Doug Wade, I think, came in last.
There's some talk that Doug's just finishing now.
It could be, yeah.
I saw Doug down at the footy at Geelong last week because he's on the board at the Geelong Footy Club and all that, because that's another great name. You played within 67 with Wade, so you made it on the list, obviously.
Oh, yes, I got onto the 36 list, which meant that then I had a regular spot in the reserves and available if I was needed. But, of course, Polly Farmer and John Newman were pretty good ruckmen. it was a bit hard to get a regular spot, but I was rucking in the reserves with Ian Hampshire.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed Hampshire that.
You mentioned Doug Wade there in that training run and all. Didn't you had an incident where you clashed with Doug Wade in a practice match?
Yes. Somehow or other, he ran into my chin, and I just kept playing, but he got carted off the ground, and one of the newspapers thought that was rather strange that he had to go off the ground, and I kept
not
kept
a playing. Good, not a good thing for a young player who's trying to make his way to go, you know, injuring the great Doug Wade and having him sent off the ground, John.
Yes, I can't recall. I really think it was his fault. He must have run into me.
But it got better than that. John said, well, I've taken Wadey out. I'm going to have a go at that goalpost now. And you ran full pelt into a goalpost.
That's right. And they say the goalpost really bent over. But the point was I hit it side on. Yeah. And it was my whole side of my body that hit the goalpost. And I didn't feel a thing, you see. But apparently I was supposed
to.
Well,
it must have impressed Peter Pianto and the selectors, yes, because you were called up for round 11 at home, was it? At Cardinia Park?
At Cardinia Park,
first game in the ones for the Cats.
Right.
Tell us about how that came about.
Well, they wanted to try out some new players, and we'd been playing hard in the reserves, and we did get ourselves in the finals at the end, and so they thought John Scarlett should be given a go, I should be given a go, Brown in roving. And Huey Strawn was another one. And so we were all given a go. And we were very pleased. And
It must have been the next week the ruckmen were back in business again, and so I was back in the reserves. But being in the reserve, you could enjoy your football as much as anywhere else. So yeah. I've always enjoyed my football, even though I'm a one...
one game one?
A one game.
Who were you opposed to that day?
Peter Pianto told me to negate Barry Goodingham, the ruckman, and he was taller than I was, but obviously I was the fairly tall to do the best I could, and Peter Pano was happy that I had succeeded in keeping him down much as possible.
But at the time, he might have thought, well, this is all right, I'll get another game here. How long did you stay on at Geelong?
I was there just for the 1 year.
Went back to Adelaide.
Then I went back to Adelaide, and so I thought it was very good of Geelong to actually put me on the 36 for the year.
And how about the finals campaign? You were playing for Geelong reserves through the finals?
Yes. I just forget how far we got, but we were certainly in the finals along with Collingwood. And
who did you ruck with in the twos? Ian Hampshire, wasn't
it? Ian Hampshire.
And Chris Mitchell too?
And Bluey Hampshire then went on to Footscray later.
Yeah, that's right.
Chris Mitchell was actually...
he played in the senior side of the grand final.
Chris Mitchell got into the A side, yes. Right. Yes, he was. Gareth Andrews started that year too. And
one of the more bizarre things that happened in 1967, which you might remember, was the fact that Dennis Marshall, because he lived in Melbourne...
Oh, here we go. Trained at South Melbourne.
He trained at South Melbourne on Tuesday night, and then he trained at Geelong on a Thursday night.
Yes, and we heard all about that. Apparently...
we still hear about it from Torch.
Apparently, when Geelong were playing South, the South... team were discussing how they could floor Marshall and get him out of the way. And someone in Geelong was listening into the talk, and they came into our room and said, got a message for Marshall, just watch out.
That's the sort of thing that South Melbourne, they still thought it was 1945.
I think they're still using fists as swans, aren't they?
They have been known to.
Somebody did get a little holiday because of that.
Torchy was on the bench for South when John made his debut for Geelong that round.
Same weekend.
Sitting next to Bobby Mallett, who on the bench, and Bobby's down at Warrnambool these days, ended up at Port Melbourne.
John, when you did go back to South Australia then immediately the next year, 1968, you played at the beautifully named Freeling Redlegs in the Barossa and Light Football Association. Greg Champion from South Australia. Greg, Freeling?
Yes. Freeling is where they've since been shooting McLeod's daughters, John. It's a beautiful little village near Kapunda, isn't it?
Yes, the
paddocks. Right. It's just kind of like stuck there in the paddocks.
Yes, just north of Barossa Valley.
Very heritage looking.
Yeah, they'd heard that I was coming back to South Australia, and they were very keen to have me up in the Barossa and Light, and I thought, well, I'd probably get more reliable games up there than trying to fight against Clarkson and Sturt. So I had an excellent year, and I was very pleased at the end of the year that they kept calling me to dinners, and so they gave me a few medals at the end of it, so that made the year very well.
Which John has brought along with him this morning.
A few medals. You scooped the pool.
Well, people go on about how Tony Liberatore's won all these medals, but he won them in different years. You won three in the 1 year?
Mm-hmm. Well, there was the club one, the Freeling Club one, and then there was the association one, and then the umpires called me into a dinner for the South Australian umpiring country.
Across all leagues?
Across all the country leagues in South Australia, and so I ended up even with the male medal, so fantastic. I felt it was a very good year. Yeah, I probably did better than if I'd played for Sturt.
When you play in the Barossa and Light Football Association, normally you go to a footy ground here, you go over and get a couple of cans from the beer stall. Do they just have, a cheeky red on sale or a Chardonnay?
No, a fruity Chardonnay. No comment.
Now, John, obviously in the years since you've maintained your allegiance for the Cats.
Oh, yes. And I have been able to attend some very impressive functions. The Cats Tales was a magnificent night going through all the eras. Mm.
And you're going in a couple of weeks' time to the 150th?
Oh, yes. I won't miss out on that.
That's fantastic.
And today, John? Geelong Hawthorn.
Oh, well, I've always said that a grand final can be won by the team that goes out there and wants to win. That's why it's good that it's not the minor premier that ends up. There's still that unpredictability, and obviously Hawthorn, the grand final said we're going to win this today, and they did.
The Cats say we're not going to win today.
No, John, you played in an era where you were found very hard to force your way into the Geelong side at the time, because there wasn't one, but there was two outstanding ruckmen and then another two very good ones in the reserves. And yet we've got Geelong this season sort of getting by without really a big name recognised ruckman at all. What's your view on ruck work in modern footy?
Well, basically it hasn't changed, but Polly, of course, developed the technique of scooping the ball and handing it, passing it on to Ruckman, very much using his body work, not relying on the big knock. I really think that if the Ruckman can develop that sort of thing where they're working very closely with their rovers, that's better than just a knock that may go anywhere. I can't really comment on today's situation. It's a bit hard.
It's light years away. Well, yeah. John, thank you so much for joining us here on the program this morning. Where have Geelong got you sitting today? Are you joining the past players function or anything like that?
I haven't heard yet where I'll be taken after this, but I'll be here to watch it anyway.
Well, he was certainly here. He was first at the ground this morning and got your cat's scarf on too, which is fantastic to see. And do you take a particular interest in the player wearing number 9 now?
I have been, yes, Kelly, and yeah. Turner was. Yeah. And, of course, I had it after Devine, so it's been of interest.
It's got a good story, the number 9. We've been talking to John Nowak, who played one game for the Geelong Football Club in 1967.
There can't be too many people in football that have as their football pedigree that they played for Sturt at Geelong, and then the beautifully named Freeling and Rainbow as well up in the Hopetoun League, isn't it?
That's right. We actually won the grand final there in 1970. So that's one grand final.
There's plenty of people who haven't got one. Yeah. John, thanks very much for joining us, and enjoy the rest of the day here at the MCG.
Thank you very much.